This is Michelle Anderson, and I'm here talking to Henry Joy, who is, well, Henry's one of my heroes. We're here in Patton at the Hangar Restaurant, eating breakfast and talking to Henry. Hi, Henry. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Michelle. How are you?
I'm just fine. We're back home, and I'm fine with that. So, Henry, you want to talk about what you think are the most important things for Northern Maine right now?
Yes. I think the first thing that has to be done is to reduce the grasp that the so-called environmental organizations have on every aspect of life in Northern Maine. They are shutting us down from all of our industry. When they made the statement in 1998 that we are successfully shutting down Maine's industry one increment at a time, they were really concentrating on Northern Maine because so many of them want a part. And they will use any avenue that they can to try to get there. And I have to do a little more research, but right now even our Maine Forestry is working right with them in that they have an area called the Northern Highlands or the Aroostook Highlands. And what they're doing is changing the land usages in those. And the emphasis going to non-motorized activities, hiking is being emphasized tremendously. And unfortunately, what happens is they claim they want a wilderness experience. But just as soon as you put a trail in a place, there's no longer any wilderness. So this happened a few years ago when they were starting to try to find places to put windmills. And I had a letter from a doctor who didn't really want to be able to see windmills from the Appalachian Trail, and because he wanted to be able to take his son on a wilderness experience. So I wrote back to him and explained to him that as soon as they put the Appalachian Trail through there, you no longer had any wilderness anyway. And if he'd like to have a wilderness experience, go along a road somewhere where there's no trails and just strike out through the woods. But I got a letter back saying, no, that's not the kind of experience I want. I think he was afraid he wouldn't be able to get back out, but anyway. But those are the things that's really hitting Maine. And our own congressional people are not helping us in any way because they are trying to upgrade the so-called Clean Water Act. And in so doing, what they're trying to do is turn all of the rights of the water over to the federal government. They want to turn even the right now, the navigable waters are under the control of the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA. So what they're trying to do now is to also add to that all of the non-navigable waters. Well, if you consider just in our area, the Penobscot watershed, there's over 8,000 square miles of land involved that the Penobscot watershed drains. So if you turn the control of the water over to the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA, then guess what happens to the control of the land?
It goes right with it.
It goes with it. So as a result, there wouldn't be anything going on up here that didn't have to go through another permitting process. Maine has several bills that have been put in over the past years to try to do just that same thing, take control of the water. A few years ago, they had college students going around to map out every source of drinking water in the state. And so if you had a well, that went on that list. And some people that I tried to help and finally got them permit to put a restaurant in up at Knowles Corner, which is in the unorganized territory, they fought it all the way, not doing it, because they said that we would have to go back and rezone that as commercial. And I pointed out to them that right across the road there'd been a store for years, so that was commercial, and there were two booster towers for radio there in the area, which also were commercial. So they gave them that. But shortly after they got open, and they'd done all of the tests and everything else, they look out, and here's a man wandering around the dooryard out there with his hand like this and some kind of an instrument in there. So the owner went out and asked him, would you mind telling me what you're doing? He said, yes. He said, your water is so good. He said that I'm putting it on the map for the federal government. He in case there is an emergency, we will take over your water spot. So this is what's going on, and they're taking away rights. It's always been that if you own the land, you own the mineral rights. That includes the water under it and so forth. But that's what's trying to be changed, and they're trying to whittle away at that 1 inch at a time. Well, if you look at the map of Aroostook County, you got the Aroostook River watershed, you got the St. John watershed, which is being tied up now by the Nature Conservancy. They bought 185,000 acres of land from IP when IP was beginning to sell out their holdings, and made the statement that they had that $30 million. They had X number of years in order to raise that $30 million, and they raised that in about 2 or 3 years from donations. And one of the things that Maine businesses are so naive about, and this is why they're able to be shut down by these organizations. One of the vice presidents of Poland Springs was in front of our committee testifying, and thought that they probably were going to get along with the Nature Conservancy quite well, and that they wouldn't be trying to shut them down because they gave them $2 million toward the purchase of that land. And I talked to the lady out in the hall afterwards and said, I hope you don't really honestly believe that $2 million is going to be a panacea for you to make sure you're going to be safe. And since then, there have been a number of bills that have done that same thing. Of course, we know the attack that our lumber mills are under. When they talked about shutting down industry, that was one of the first ones they were really going at.
Mm-hmm.
They took, first of all, took effort in cleaning up the rivers, which was a good thing. But at the same time, when you clean up the rivers up here, you run into a situation down on the coast where all of a sudden the fish down in the Gulf of Maine are decreasing in numbers. And it's not entirely because they're being caught out at a very fast pace. Part of it is because there is not that refuse going down the rivers to settle on the bottom of the Gulf of Maine, because they're all bottom feeders. And without that feed on there, of course you're going to have dwindling stocks. And I know it sounds kind of bad, but if you stop and think of it, the rivers actually have always been the leveling force that carried refuse down to the ocean. And we don't need to pollute them at all, but at the same time, you can't take away that same function. They took out the dam in Edwards Dam down in Augusta. That was 168 years of the environment that had been there for 168 years. Gone. And what happened? Bath Ironworks had to step up their dredging of the harbor down there from 5 years to 3 years. So all of these things have another consequence every time that you do them. Now they're planning to take out three of the dams on the Penobscot. One of them, they want to build a sluice around it so that the salmon supposedly can go up a stream instead of a fishway. And all that's going to do is let species up into those waters that haven't been there for years and years and years. And anytime you talk about restoring the Penobscot or restoring any river to the way it was, show me the people who are alive today that remember that river before it was there, before it was dammed. There aren't any of them around. And yes, you can picture something in your mind about what that river might have been like, but they take those dams out, and what you're going to have in the July and August in normal years is you're going to have mud flats. And they tell about how great the fishing is going to be. It may be, but fishing in Maine has always been great in the spring
mm-hmm.
and fall. And in between times, you look for spring holes so that you can catch trout or salmon or whatever it is in deep places in lakes. But they're so interested in tying up all of the land. And I think it relates back to a question that I asked the man from the Atlantic Salmon Commission, who's the president of the Maine chapter of it. And I asked him to go back and check the records to find out when the salmon migrations into the main rivers was at its peak. And I said, I can't prove it because I haven't gone back to check it either, but I said, I'll bet you'll find that that's when they were driving pulp and logs down the rivers. And I said, it served two purposes. It scoured out the spawning beds along with the ice, helped them spawn those up, so that the fish had a good place to come up and lay their eggs and spawn. And I said, number two, there were all kinds of feed in the bark that was on those trees. And yes, there's places where the bark piled up on the bottom of the river, but gradually you'd have the spring freshet come down next year and wash that down. And there was still some feed down there for the fish down in the Gulf of Maine, so that you had a something turning over that way. And I said, you know, you keep tying up land every time that you want to supposedly restore fishing into the rivers, the salmon and so forth. And I said, you know, I've wandered all over the hills and fields and woodlands of Maine. And I said, I've never seen a salmon up on a hardwood ridge. Well, that, needless to say, I think that just about came to the end of the conversation. But this is typical of what's taking place. And when we read articles by Brownie Carson and so forth, we can tell right away just exactly where they were. It's not conservation. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's all about control, as we've talked about many times in the past. In presenting the bill to turn Lurk's responsibilities over to the various counties in which the unorganized territories are located, when you stop and think about it, the state of Maine actually has a pretty tremendous bonus from the areas that are in the unorganized territory, because the money that pays for the services in the unorganized territories comes entirely from the unorganized territory. So that it's not costing the state money to have the unorganized territory. And I've brought this out many times, and it's amazing the number of people who don't have a clue that the unorganized territories take care of themselves. And when you say, well, the taxes are so much less in there for a home, well, yes, they are, because they don't get as many services. And so as a result, your tax base is low. They have a lot of people who are trying to get those tax dollars into the state coffers. And if you do, that marks the end of the unorganized territories. Right now, the reason that I was more than anxious to try to turn it over to the counties in other states in the Union, all the other states in the Union, they don't have a LURC. It's interesting that LURC is the letters that were picked for Land Use Regulatory Commission, because they certainly are lurking in the background at all times. And this year they've done a tremendous disservice to people who want to build in the unorganized territories, because they don't want anybody building there either. And they've increased the fees, permit fees, for building about 10 times. A friend of mine that I met here a short time ago, and I knew his father for a long time, is building in Benedicta. He sent in $75 with the permit application, because that's what the dollar amount was on there. And they immediately sent back and says, oh, that's not the fee anymore. It's $700. So it has increased just about 10 times over this last year, and that's what they put in there. They're also coming up with what they call an updated version of the Comprehensive Land Use Plan, and that is the biggest land grab that has ever hit the state. They give absolutely no credence for the fact that somebody else owns the land and that somebody else pays the freight on that land. So that was the big spark that kind of pushed the movement forward to turn that management of those lands and the zoning of those lands over to the counties. And the county commissioners for those 10 counties that have quite a bit of LURC jurisdiction were more than willing to take them over. And they were going to put in place the current land use plan that LURC already has in there, until they could get together and come up with some other plans in the future, because they already manage the budgets for the unorganized territory. Yes, they have a lady in Augusta who's in charge of overseeing the unorganized territory, and she's super. She really does a great job, and she fights for the unorganized territory. And I've been able to work with her on those issues. The big problem that you run into is that many times down there in the 15 years that I've been there, when you need a voice for the unorganized territory, I've been alone on a lot of the time. And there's an awful lot of people who have cottages and places in the unorganized territories that should be standing up and being counted, but they fall by the wayside when it means to dig in your heels and really give battle for those people.
Why do you think that is?
Intimidation. I think, by and large, they're afraid of people in positions of, and I put quote marks around this, authority.
I'm afraid that because of time constraints, we're going to have to split this up into two parts, and this concludes the first part. Next week, we'll listen to the second part of Representative Henry Joy discussing what is important to us north of Bangor.